folks, and welcome back to the Grave Consequences podcast. It's a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. The show will now drop every Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can figure out why we chose 6:30. I think it's pretty obvious, but whatever. I am Caleb B., Caleb Baldwin. Follow me on Twitter at I am Caleb B., as I already mentioned. Follow Greg at X Maserati. This is episode 26 of our show, and also we obviously are reviewing season 1, episode 26 of Lucha Underground. The title of this show is The Best in the Business, and we'll talk about it when it comes up, but man, just real quick, by the reaction these guys got in their entrances and in the match and after the match, like, you would have thought it was like Steamboat versus Flair reincarnated. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Havoc's over. Havoc's really, like, they were chanting, "We want Havoc."
Not what I was talking about, but go off.
Oh, who are we talking about? Who are you talking about?
The main event, sir.
Oh, you're skipping way ahead then.
I know. I mean, I'm just not saying we go right into the main event, but just as a teaser, like, you know.
Let me check my notes for the main event. What was the main event?
It was Alberto El Patron versus Johnny Mundo.
Oh, this was a great match. That's actually, yeah. I was going to give it a...
Literally, like, two of the four most over people in the temple.
This is, and it was Patron's best match. I think this is his second one, but it's still, like, heads and tails better than his match that I thought was decent against Tejano. This one's way better. Way better. Yeah. Johnny Mundo is probably going to be an underrated wrestler when he retires.
Absolutely. And we will get back to that main event. But we are first going to, you know, go through the rest of the show. And the very first thing we see is what is going to establish that main event, because we have Alberto El Patron and Johnny Mundo in the office of one Dario Cueto. Oh, by the way, I've started doing recording voice notes on my notes app here on my iTelephone. And it when I said Dario Cueto, it heard Cuito, so it's Q-U-I-T-O, so that kind of just gave me a chuckle. But thanks for the courtesy chuckle, Greg. It's greatly appreciated.
You're welcome.
So they're both in there like, man, we don't agree on pretty much anything. Like, we pretty well kind of hate each other. But we can both agree, like, either one of us deserves a title shot before Hernandez.
I agree with them.
I do too. Although we'll talk about Hernandez later, but like, he's honestly, like, we started off like Hernandez is the devil. He's really starting to win me over. I'm not gonna lie.
Because he's good. He's good in the ring. It's just and he's supposed to be a heel. So, and he does come across as a good heel, especially in this episode. He's an incredible heel.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It the way he debuted was kind of like how ex-WWE guys would debut in Impact for a while. And in the group chat, I was just going off on the many, many blunders Impact had when I was watching. It had that kind of energy where it was like, all right, here comes a guy. They're going to shoot him to the moon from another promotion.
To the moon, like Dogecoin.
To the moon. Our AMC. So hold those stocks, guys. I'm trying to get up over 10. Like, I'm holding steady, but, you know.
Hold them, guys. Hold them. Don't sell. That's what they want you to do, is sell.
Once COVID's gone, the theaters are going to open up. So you're going to feel pretty stupid once you drop that stock. But nonetheless.
Yep. When you drop that stock and when Greg's able to retire because it's trading at $4,000 a share, you're going to feel like real idiots. Oh, man. But... yeah, no, like, they both go off about how, like, hey, we deserve it more than Hernandez. Look at what we've done for the temple. And that's when Dario gets an idea, and you always know he's up to something, because he always is up to something. He's always working. He's working overtime to be a dick, basically, you know? Like, if you think he gets paid to be a dick and he loves his job so much that he's there, like, he's scheduled to work an 8-hour shift, but he always works 12, because that's how much he loves his job.
24/7.
Absolutely.
He's a small business owner working overtime to keep his business afloat, being a dick.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, man. He he skipped the McDouble and got the double cheeseburger, or maybe it was the other way around, and used that 20 cents to start an LLC. But this is when Dario gets an idea, because he sees the contention between the two, and he says, you know what? All right, I'll do something for you. Dario Cueto books Johnny Mundo versus Alberto El Patron, and the winner will get Hernandez next week, with the winner of that getting the next title shot for the Lucha Underground Championship at Prince Puma. And as the title suggests, this sets up our main event of the evening. And I thought the segment was good. This wasn't Dario's best character work in the episode. That's going to come later. But he did a very good job here.
Yeah, he wasn't too cowardly. I mean, as a promoter, it's a good if you're taking, you know, wrestling for real. It's a great decision. It's a great main event. It kind of screws Hernandez over because Hernandez already had the number one contendership. So he's kind of having to defend it. So he has a right to be upset. But at the same time, maybe not so much. Maybe Hernandez has more of a right than Alberto, because Alberto's had one match. And Hernandez won a specific match for that. Johnny Mundo deserves it because he's been doing great. But it's still...
Well, Johnny Mundo's been doing great, and he almost won contendership against Brian Cage until King Cuerno interfered. So he's got a gripe.
Alberto, and this will come in later, I think the roles we'll talk about it later, but Alberto's the dick. He's the heel, in my opinion, yes. In this situation. He doesn't deserve this. Beating Tejano in a bull rope match. Yeah, that's impressive, but it doesn't get you a title shot. So he's kind of throwing his superstar weight around. This is him being a superstar, a diva.
Yeah.
I
don't know if you were watching in 2016, but when John Cena came back to SmackDown at the end of the year, and said, you know what? I'm challenging AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship. Why? Because I'm John Cena. That's actually what he said. This is basically what Alberto did.
Well, they had the World Tag League Tournament. I forget what year it was in New Japan, but I believe it came down. The winners get a title shot, and it was Evil and Sonata versus G.O.D. I believe those were the guys. And then the Young Bucks, having not been in the tournament, interjected themselves into the match. I think they started having issues with New Japan, but they threw themselves into the match even though they were never in the tournament. So you could say it's like that pretty easily.
Yeah, and again, you knew Dario was working overtime, because as they're staring at each other, just so pissed at each other, ready to fight, Dario gets a smile on his face, partly because I think he's thinking, oh man, there's already a rift here. These guys already don't like each other. I've just made it worse. That's awesome. And another part of it, I think of it is, oh my God, neither of them are mad at me right now.
Yeah, he handled this situation probably the best of all his angry wrestler interactions so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he gave them a foil to be mad at besides him.
And he didn't have to give him fat stacks of cash like he normally does with Big Rick. So he hasn't been extorted. Yeah. He hasn't been intimidated. He was intimidated, but he didn't fold under the pressure. He just made a match. So this is what he's learning. He's learning to be a good promoter with wrestlers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as good as that segment was, the next thing we see is, once again, I allude to the fact that, you know, when they do these tapings, they bring in one house band. And it's the same band again. And they're fine. Don't get me wrong. But Sergio Mendoza y a la Orquestra play us in again. And I noticed when they were doing the intro and previewing the show, Vampiro and Stryker, Vampiro does a lot of hand talking. And I know this because I'm also a hand talker. Not a signer, a hand talker. Like, I will move my hands and arms as I'm speaking. Does that make sense to you, Greg?
Yeah, I know a lot of people that have to gesture with their hands as they speak to make to put emphasis on the things they say.
Yes.
Very animated people. Mm-hmm. Is Vampiro someone I want to talk to, though? Maybe not.
Oh, man.
And actually, no.
You, sh- you shrugged your shoulders as you said, eh, maybe not.
Actually, I probably would. I'd love Vampiro.
Love to listen to Vampiro for like half an hour.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't, well, I'd say as long as he doesn't lie, but he lies all the time. I would love to
be. That's why I would want to talk to him.
If he were doing like a Henry Rollins kind of thing where he got and he did spoken word about anything, I'd be there. I listened to him on podcast, that's what I would do. I don't think I'd like to talk directly to him because he's probably crazy.
That's fair enough, man. Yeah, I think I've said it on the show before, but like I met Stryker at the peak of my Lucha Underground fandom. This was during as season two was releasing on TV, WrestleCon 2016. I got a pic and an autograph from Stryker, and he said, oh yeah, Vampiro is crazy. And I'm like, oh yeah, he sounds like, and he's like, no, he's actually crazy. Like he had to emphasize like, yeah, no, that's not a bit.
Really? Well, I can, yes. I mean, we know that now. But yeah, that's great. It's funny that he'd say it that. I mean, the one interview, I think it was with Chris Van Vliet, Vampiro's mm-hmm. like, fuck Pentagon, fuck Phoenix. I think, I don't know if he was going for real heat or if he really feels that way. He's a crazy dude. You know, it depends on how much, I don't know if you've, how many like wrestling YouTube clips you'll watch where like a host is interviewing a wrestler and they're just, you know, marking out for them and, you know, but then the wrestler is kind of like mocking them or talking down to them. I'm not that kind of, I don't want to do that. You know, and I think that's what he would do. I think he'd be kind of like a dick about things. Like kind of like how you remember when Bully Ray was trying to get Rich onto his podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember that, man. Yeah, I do.
I don't want that kind of, I don't want to, I mean, yeah. I completely understand because at the end of the day, you're a person. You don't really want to do that. Maybe I'm taking us too far off track, but I think that would all
good.
I think that's how a conversation with Vampire would have to end up,
you know? But hey, consider this an official invitation / almost a beg. Matt Cross, if you ever want to come on the Grave Consequences podcast, we will move heaven and earth to make sure we schedule it to happen, just so you know.
Yeah, as long as the wrestler is cool, I don't mind having him on there. I just don't, we're not making any money off this, so I don't really want to have someone come on.
We do this
for
the love of the game, dude. We do this for the love of the game.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to have someone on here come on here and be a dick to either of us. Like, that's, you know, I think that may be what a real mark would do. I hate that term, but we're not here to be disrespected. Like, I would
did I tell you, this may have been in the group chat, this may have been on air. It's been, what, like a week and a half since we last recorded?
Yeah, maybe.
Instead of mark, we should be saying simp instead, because that's more of a pejorative.
Yeah, I can. But unfortunately, you're. I don't want to, but unfortunately, you're pretty. It does fit. the definition does, because they will spend money to be mistreated. I mean, that's the thing, man. Like, we're not making money. I don't need to do anything for popularity. As long as they're cool. Like, I think I could actually have Bully Ray on here with us, even though there's no point. I think just because I'm from the East Coast too, like, I kind of can talk to him without either of us really offending each other, just because, you know, those are the kind of fans I'm around all the time. So like, we wouldn't rub each other the wrong way, but I think some wrestlers we wouldn't have on here. Like Cage is super fucking cool. I don't know if you've seen interviews with him, but that dude is like, if I were that big, I'd be the hugest dickhead to everybody.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
With those, but he's super chill and cool.
Well, that's the thing about bodybuilders, dude. They are like legitimately some of the nice, for the most part, some of the nicest people on the planet Earth.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't know much about that world, but if that's true, I mean, Angelico seems like he'd be cool. Matt Cross seems to be cool. I think Ivelisse would be cool. It's ever certain personalities don't gel together. I don't really like crazy people because I don't. They make me uncomfortable because I don't know. It's a kind of like integrity. I just don't trust them as to not stab me in the back, like literally. So Vampiro, I'd love to have Conan on. That'd be great. Rick, Puma doesn't talk, so we can't have him on here.
No, of course not. We can't have him.
I don't know if he's ever. Actually, maybe spoiler, but I'm pretty sure he No, I don't know if he talks ever.
I think he does in the third season, but I could be wrong.
I think it was like a word.
That sounds right, yes.
It was kind of like when Maggie Simpson talks on The Simpsons.
Yeah, definitely. Man, we went off the res, dude.
Yeah, I apologize to the audience.
I can say that. I'm from Oklahoma.
I Caleb knows it's been a day for me. I'm running on fumes. Friday was ruined by my boss, so I'm doing the best I can.
Hey, man, that's all we can ask for, bro. That's all we can ask for. Again, it's a free podcast, so if you hate it, then fuck off.
Yeah. There you go. That'll get them coming back.
That'll definitely, that won't alienate our listenership whatsoever.
I will say something crazy later to give people fuel if they want to hate us, though, because I'm going to say something nuts in our main event. So I'll wait till we get there.
Yeah.
So you have to give us our ad time.
Main event, or pardon me, next matchup, first match of the night is the Crew, and this is a tag team match. So it's the team of Cortez Castro and Mr. Cisco against Angelico and Son of Havoc. And this is because Ivelisse injured. She's in the temple. She is in the bleachers, actually, sitting next to some simps, as we now call them. Marks, well, at the time.
You're calling him that. I'm not going to get on board with
okay.
that.
Okay, that's fine. I'm
not going to stop
you. It's your right to be a coward. I will allow you that right.
Thank you.
One thing, because I didn't write a lot of spots down here, because I figure, well, I'll save that for Greg. And also, you know, want to encourage people to go back and watch the matches as well. It's long since been established.
You really should go back and watch it, though, too, because these matches are very spotty. So if I tell you all the spots, you don't need to go see the match.
Exactly. So Ivelisse, like I said, she's sitting in the bleachers with the marks, and she's very annoyed by the chanting, even when they're chanting for her.
She's weird. Like, she's Angelico and Havoc are faces now, but she's very much a heel.
Yes, absolutely.
She's obnoxious as fuck.
Yeah. Like, when she's yelling at Angelico and Son of Havoc in this match to move and, you know, do this, do that, she reminded me of, like, an angry dad at a kid pitch baseball game.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's a good analogy. She is.
Choke up. You got to choke up on that bat, son.
Yeah, the one that gets kicked out because he's too drunk and he's, you know, scaring the other parents. Or like Randy Marsh versus Bat Dad on South Park.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Bat Dad, I didn't hear no bell.
They should. That's a spot they missed out on. Oh, well.
Oh, man, that's great. That's great. Some other mark for the Crew. Oh, my God. Yes. They should have had, in like the next row up, they should have had Bale sitting up there arguing with her. And you have Ivelisse do the whole, you want to do it? You want to do it?
they had the opportunity. They squandered it, though.
And then you have them get escorted out because it's like, well, they're fans, you know, they're not wrestlers right now. And as Ivelisse is getting escorted out, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought this was the temple.
You know what? I kind of want them to do that more in wrestling now that you put that thought in my head, because they could do that more often in wrestling, where not necessarily the manager, but they could add more drama to the matches by having people constantly pulled out. I'm sure some New Japan fans would love that for some of the Bullet Club antics. you know, it could be cool to do that more often, I think.
I will take your word for it on that New Japan remark, because I don't watch fetishized wrestling.
I do.
Oh, my gosh. One thing here, Vampiro did a great job of pointing out just how desperate the Crew was to get the win. Like, they were more vicious than ever. It's almost like they saw something that really put the fear of God in them.
Put the fear of God in them, and you know, it's one of those things where sometimes where a team or a player or combatant has a layup, as Dario would say, mm-hmm. and because they have the layup, they don't bring their full game because they're expecting an easy W. Because the crew had that one good trios match that where they were kicking ass. Like, they have good chemistry with each other, and they are ruthless, and they will hurt you, but they can't fuck around, and they're not fucking around in this match.
Yeah. I would like to point out, there was one point when Angelico was on the apron and Cisco went to dive at him, and Angelico was supposed to duck, which he did, and Cisco was supposed to miss him and hit either Son of Havoc or his own tag team partner, and Cisco, like, it was so spotty, bro. Like, it was really bad.
There was quite a few...
He got tangled up in the ropes, dude.
It wasn't the only time. There was another incident where someone got tangled up in the ropes. They were having trouble with the bottom two ropes in this show. Mm-hmm. That's a constant theme in this match. We could even call it the worst in the ropes instead of best in the business, if you want.
I like that, actually. Yeah.
I'll write it down. Well, just remind me. We'll call it worst in the ropes.
Absolutely.
Thankfully, they weren't dangerous botches. They were just kind of like, okay, yeah, that guy tripped.
They just looked bad, you know?
It looked pretty bad, and you couldn't really edit it out really cleanly.
Unless you completely cut away.
Which, you know, what would you be looking at? Because they were during the big spots. Did you want me to give some flavor on the match?
If you want to, I mean, I'm not going to force you to do anything you don't want to, but if you would like to, then feel free.
Well, let me just say that... I'll just say this match was all about redemption for the crew. This whole thing was supposed to install a little bit of doubt for the. Do they have a name? Havoc, Angelico, and Ivelisse?
There's no real name. I think eventually they do become christened as Team Havoc, but I think that's only by commentary. I don't think they ever acknowledge themselves as that.
Let's call them Full House. Because there was three dads in that.
I love it.
And we'll talk about who's the Jesse of the group later. But there was some. It was her doing her usual stuff. We thought she was past, where she's telling everyone what to do. Like, that storyline with her and Havoc was done. But it's rearing its ugly head. Angelico and Havoc had some spots where they were like giving each other those kind of Rock and Austin tags, where, you know, they're not very friendly.
Yeah,
and it was all about showing the savagery and how technical the crew can be. So it was this whole match was to instill doubt, this whole match was there to make it seem like, oh wait, the crew can beat them and they will beat them because the Full House crew is falling apart from the inside already. And this is following the interview they had with Vampiro. Yes, they won the title.
Yeah.
But the story they're trying to tell is that it's a house of cards, if you will.
Yes.
And the whole match is, this isn't their best stuff. They're holding back for the next match. So if you skip this match, you're missing out on some story stuff because there's some psychology in this match. But if you just want great wrestling, you can probably, I mean, there's great spots, no doubt. There's a million V triggers before, I think, or maybe around the same time V trigger was becoming awesome with Kenny Omega. There was the Shatter Machine. Is that the move where you do a code breaker with a flapjack like FTR does?
Shatter Machine.
What was the move that FTR did in NXT where they have a guy in a leg lock and the other guy jumps off the turnbuckle and lands on their knee?
Hits the knee. I don't know, man.
Because I thought that was Shatter Machine.
No, Shatter Machine is the flapjack into the code breaker or whatever.
Okay, that's where the finish is. Some high spots. There were some good, you know, lucha moves, but I'm not going to tell all the spots. If you you should follow, because like I said, there's some good psychology and story elements, and it ends with the crew getting the W, and you know, maybe they're getting their shit together, because now also Full House is down a dad. Jesse is on the bleachers.
So she's Jesse.
She has dark hair.
Okay, so I feel like the glue of the group has to be Son of Havoc, which would make him Danny Tanner.
Who's the guy that broke Alanis Morissette's heart?
What was that? It's Dave Joe? Coulier, Uncle Joey. Joey Gladstone.
Uncle Joey's Havoc. That's fine.
I'm okay. Okay, yeah, that's...
Oh, I wait. Like you said Havoc is Danny Tanner?
Yes, yeah. In my opinion. I mean...
Angelico would be... Maybe Angelico's... Well, he'll be Joey.
And I feel like... Yeah, okay, that'll work. It's not a perfect parable, but it'll work.
Yeah, I think there's two... I don't think there's a Joey. I think there's two Jessies.
That's fair enough, yeah. That's but, definitely fair enough.
Yeah. The Full House crew lost.
They did. They lost because they still can't get along. And it's not even Son of Havoc and Angelico who were in the match. Like, they had some tough spots here and there, but like most of the problem, honestly, it's Ivelisse.
Yeah, it's a very it was kind of weird coming back and watching this because I thought they had moved past that, like in the storyline where she's telling everyone what to do.
Yeah,
but they're coming right back to it. I guess they're trying to show that they had the heart to do it, but mm-hmm. you know the story now they, is
may
can
not, they may not have the heart to keep it. The honeymoon's over.
Yes, and it's funny though. They're great trios. It's a real shame that she hurt her leg too. But yeah, I think Lucha Underground did the best they could do.
Yes, absolutely. In the situation, yes, they did. One more thing before we move on to the next segment. And it's just, it's that there are certain guys that you can tell get it. And it was after one particular dive. I can't remember when. But Angelico hits this clean-ass dive like he always does. And then he takes the time, posture for a second, and he like swoops his hair. And it's just so douchey. But like at the same time, he's so, honestly, and I'm a straight guy, but I'll say it, he's so handsome that it's like, I get it. I get it. I really do.
He's a better heel. Like when he comes out and he's mm-hmm. dancing in the AEW, like you just instantly hate him, even though you might respect him. Like I love him as a wrestler, but it's like, God, stop. Yep. But he does one spot in this match where he gets dizzied and the way he falls out of the ropes is like, not Ric Flair-esque, but like it's kind of on that level where he's like knocked out and he just flounders out and just it looks like a horrible spill, but you can tell that he's doing it controlled. I don't know if you remember that spot, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. No, like I just want to go back to it and say it again, Angelico gets it.
He does. He's great. And I think he that's why he should be he could do so much more than he's being used for right now.
And he could have done so much more in Lucha Underground, but don't want to get into spoiler territory, but circumstances kind of held him back.
I think he got, spoilers, but yeah.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say.
It's a 45-minute show a week, too, so there's only so much time, and there's so many killers on this show. A lot of them end up in NXT, a lot of them end up in AEW, and a few end up, they're on the main roster now.
Yeah.
At least one.
So, yeah. So, the crew get the win. The very next thing, and this is where Dario does his best character work of the night. Dario, by all intents and purposes, as things look, it looks like he invited Delavar Daivari into his office. And Daivari is just not interested. He's not listening to a word that Dario is saying. He's checking his phone, holding his drink in one hand, not even looking up, not answering him. And you can tell just by the look at his face, Dario feels disrespected, as he should. And Dario hates this guy.
This is great work because it's heel versus heel. And I know I harp on that so much, but it's realistic. Like not every asshole is going to get along with every asshole. In fact, they should conflict more often because, you know,
they should because it's like, oh, this guy's such an asshole. And they don't realize they're looking in a mirror.
Yeah. An asshole is someone that will disrespect other people. And usually sometimes assholes are for, because they're insecure. So if you upset an asshole, they're going to, it should be more combative and more more conflict. But my favorite part was when Daivari raised his finger as Dario was talking to kind of like
when he was doing the spiel. When he was doing the spiel, and Daivari does the like hand waving motion, like on with it. That was amazing.
Daivari mastered X-Pac developed the term go home heat or go away heat. But Daivari, man, like this whole segment, I was like, God, I hate this fucking guy. Like, and and what happens next? It's just he's perfected it. Like, and that doesn't mean I want to see him more often. But it's just like, man, he just knows how to like just make you.
But I love that. You know, Dario has had it up to here with him. So Dario just decides like, okay, you know, you say you like inflicting violence, as you know, because he's like. Because Daivari says, you know, you like watching violence. I like inflicting it. That's why I'm here. And Dario says, you know, well, if you like it so much, you're going to have your first match tonight. And it's going to be against someone you know very well.
And Daivari just, even when he said it, it was like, okay, whatever. Like, he just comes across as a, it's just some kind of entitled rich. Because I think he even said, like, you own most of the real estate in Boyle Heights, which is gonna make people hate him even more because he's a landlord type character, you know. So nobody likes the landlord. So he's just
lanyards for that matter.
Yes, those too. But like
always spinning around your neck. Ugh.
He's just got the perfect heat.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a Godzilla fireball of heat. Nuclear.
That's amazing. Also, I'm Team Kong all the way, baby.
King Kong had to climb a skyscraper. Godzilla's as big as a skyscraper, so that movie's going to be kind of
Well, that means King Kong put in the work. Okay, King Kong wasn't born on third. King Kong actually hit a triple. Just
well, saying. Godzilla's a nuclear dinosaur.
All right, whatever, dude. Next up, we had Prince Puma and Hernandez segment with Conan in there as well. And I believe Hernandez came to Puma, correct? Or Puma came to Hernandez?
When I was watching it, they just were kind of in the same room.
Okay. Either way.
It's the locker room. They were there. Drago's in the toilet. Someone's trying to flush him down.
Yeah, Drago's trying to sneak back into the temple through the sewer. He's trying to reverse Andy Dufresne it.
You know what they could have done? They could have had Drago constantly walking around. Like, you know how some people have toilet paper hanging from their shoe or their pants?
Oh, my God, yes.
How else does he get in the temple?
That's fair enough, man. That's fair enough. Drago crawled through 500 miles of shit to wrestle in the temple. Smelled like roses on the other side.
That's how he gets all that fireball from all that methane.
Jesus Christ. It's best episode yet. First thing Hernandez does is he tries to gaslight Puma. He's like, oh, you're here to thank me for helping your boy retain the title last week? He's like, no, clearly you were trying to spear him, but go off.
They could have gone longer with the storyline of the doubt of Conan, but they... Mm-hmm. Didn't wait on it. They just immediately are like, no, Conan's cool. And I'm not going to be one of those fans who are like, oh, they should have waited longer, because I hate when people do that. That's obnoxious. Like, you don't know. But it was surprising. I thought they could have gone with that storyline for quite a while. The doubt, like, is Conan going to turn on him? Is he not? Kind of like MJF and Cody. They could have gone on with that for a while.
Honestly, that could have gone on. If not for a pandemic, under normal circumstances, that probably could have gone on for like another year, but it's whatever.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's just, it was interesting. I was surprised that they just came. It was just kind of because that was kind of the big question of the last episode. Is Conan looking to replace Puma? Would he, if he had a chance? Does he care who has the championship? Because, you know, if he's managing, it doesn't matter who the person he's managing it is. He's still going to charge the same rates if you're looking at it realistically. But no, he came out and it's like, nope, my loyalty's with Puma. And it was like, oh, all right. Well, that's fine too.
Well, to play Vampiro here for a second, of course his loyalties with Puma. Puma's the young cat, dude. Puma doesn't have these miles added up. He's not at the end of his run. Puma is going to be here forever. for at least 7 seasons.
Well, that just means Conan is not an idiot. He's not going to do like Impact and have Val Venus go over Christopher Daniels.
He's a snake, bro. Conan is a snake, bro.
He's a good talent scout.
Oh my gosh. By the way, I heard your and I will not go to the ends of the earth to defend early era Hogan Bischoff TNA. Now, 2012, 2013, yeah, maybe, but not so much the early stuff. I like this even better. Dario comes in after all the gaslighting and arguing, and he tells Hernandez, like, hey, sorry, bud, you got to win another match next week. Patron or Mundo, whoever, you got to win again next week. Hernandez is pissed. And then to make it even better, Dario, the dick that he is, to the end of his days, he says, like, I hope you guys can get over this little spat because you guys got a team tonight against King Cuerno and Cage. So a little bit of salt in the wound for both of them.
It's interesting, and even says to Conan, he says, you know, if there's anybody that can get these two people on the same page, it's you. I know you can do it, buddy. And Conan's just kind of like, because one of those things where it's a compliment, but you know someone's fucking with you. And even Conan was kind of like,
it's a go to the, yeah, it's like Conan had pure go to hell energy at that point in time.
As he should.
Yep. Next up, Delavar Daivari is in the ring. The crowd, the temple already hates him. Like, and to my understanding, the temple wouldn't have even seen the vignette that we saw earlier, but the temple already hates him.
He's hateable, bro. Like, he's wearing like gold pants, isn't he?
Yep, that's fair enough. He does wrestle in pretty much all gold. So she introduces Delavar, and then as she starts to introduce Tejano, you hear her say, "Oh shit." Then she runs off. And then 3 seconds later, Tejano comes in the ring.
I love that. I thought at first I had to rewind it because I was like, did she say what I think she did? Mm-hmm. And it was great. Yep. I thought Pentagon was coming out again. I swear to God. I was like, oh crap, Pentagon's back. I was like, I don't remember this.
Yeah. No, this was great because this was basically because Tejano, at this point, he's full blown baby because he comes out, he beats up this rich piece of shit, beats him up as much as he can until Tejano. Oh, the match starts, by the way, immediately, like within 30 seconds, ends in a DQ, and Tejano doesn't care. He's still beating the crap out of him for as long as he can until Daivari gets one opening, just one. That's all he needs. And then he powders out of there.
It was kind of a week. It was disappointing, but it gave him even more heat because he wants to inflate. He's not paying attention. He's agreeing to anything. He doesn't even respect anybody. But then he runs away. It's just the weaseliest of heels.
It shows how two-faced he is because he says, like, I love to inflict violence, and then he has an opportunity, and it's not an issue of like Tejano's back is turned or Tejano only knows you as a mark in the crowd. Tejano's ready to fight. And at that point, you're just like, nah, I'm good. So, yeah, like you said, he's a weasel.
He's, I don't know, hopefully that sound effect, my stupid Windows just updated its Windows Defender.
Good. I didn't hear anything. It's good.
It annoyed the fuck out of me. But, I can't wait for him to, it's weird because we were saying, like, yeah, don't get your hopes up. But, man, I can't. And this is probably the only time I'm ever going to say this, but man, I really can't wait for that Tejano Daivari match.
Because
I just want him to beat the crap out of Daivari. Like, he's just, you know, Daivari was okay in Impact. I liked him in Impact.
That's what I'm told. Yeah, as Sheik Abdul Bashir.
Was that what he was called back in a few years ago? Maybe six years ago.
Well, he was good. That was around 2008, actually. He was Sheik Abdul Bashir.
He had a deep Impact DDT. That's when you jump from the top rope and you end up doing like a regular DDT, but from a
isn't that height. The one where you have Morgan Freeman commentate it?
Yes, and Earth nice. Dies.
There yeah, we go. Go off.
He was good in Impact, and he's back in Impact because I think I saw him in a match.
He I want to say he was in like the gauntlet they had in October at Bound for Glory, but that's all I would know.
Someone posted in the group chat a picture. It's like a three versus three. Chris Bay is on one side and Daivari is on the other side. And they were just calling him Daivari. Daivari's a great, he's a perfectly fine wrestler. Like he can do some cool moves, but he's very, I don't even want to use the term old school, cause I think that's stupid to call, you know, just getting heat, but he's very much like a Jay White where he's all about getting heat. Like, yeah, he can do cool moves. Like Jay White does a cool Uranagi, but he's really there to just get you just to hate him and want him to get his ass kicked.
Yeah. And he does a good job. Good. Honestly, we need more of that, to be completely honest with you.
It worked here. I want him to get hurt really bad. Yeah. Oh, and he throws shitty punches. I wrote that down in my notes. His punches were garbage.
Let me ask, off the top of your head, better or worse than Shane McMahon?
Shane McMahon's known for having bad punches.
Yes. Yeah, you didn't know?
Well, I like his shake, rattle, and roll punch he does, the Muhammad Ali thing where he does those jabs.
Yeah.
You know, I like that.
You like those?
I love that.
I guess you're entitled to your opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I haven't watched in years, so I don't know. When he came back, I didn't see much of him. Back in the day, like, I liked those kind of moves, like the bionic elbow. I love Juice Robinson's right hand. The hand of God, right hand of God. I love Shingo's. I love that just snappy punch. The right hand people will throw, just knock people out. I love that crap. I like strikes.
Yeah, I get you, man. I get you. So after that, we have our semi-main, which is Prince Puma and Hernandez against, Cage and King Cuerno. Sorry.
Can we call them the Terminators? Because they're hunters and they're machines.
I love it. I really do.
There we go.
The Terminators. That's amazing. What sucks is I think this is one of the last times that they team up in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, they were a team that was not meant to stay together for long. Too much ego.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's see. First thing I noticed when we get back, and maybe it's, you know, for time constraints, everyone's already in the ring. We don't see entrances at all.
I kind of love that because while it is fun to see an entrance for a great wrestler, especially when the music's cool, sometimes I don't need to see everybody's entrance. Like when it's a tag team, I do not want to see individual entrances. I don't give a shit.
Oh, no.
Unless your entrance is really cool and your music's really great, I can wait till you're in the ring.
That's fair enough. And another thing I noticed, and you got to ask yourself, when did these two fall in love? Maybe it was during the first season, because Melissa Santos puts a lot of effort into announcing Cage.
Dude, I was very confused as to who you were referring to fell in love. I was like, where are you going with this?
Yes, King Cuerno. King Cuerno and Hernandez fell in love.
Dude, I was really confused because I was like, where is he going with this? Like,
oh my God. But, you know, she does a good, and, you know, people do this for different wrestlers, whether it's like skating down to the ring, Darby Allin. They'll do little differences, you know, make announcements unique. And one thing she does is she'll say, you know, from the 559, they call him Cage. Amazing.
She misses one part, though.
What did she miss?
He's not a man. He's a machine.
Oh, yeah. That's fair enough. But that being said, this match was awesome.
Very
truly
good match.
Awesome. Like, we got to see everything. We got to see Hernandez being flippy. We got to see Brian Cage getting his shit in, as he is, you know, Mr. Get My Shit In. My God, Hernandez border toss Cuerno onto Cage from the inside of the ring to the out. Clean ass tope over the top rope. And then after he hits the tope, and feel free to interject when I give you the opening. After he hits the tope, gets back on the apron, starts swaggering as Prince Puma goes to one up him. and blocks him.
Yeah, they had some pretty big misunderstandings. I think
That was the story. I'm sorry to cut you off. But that was the story of the match. Was like Hernandez and Puma. You could tell really didn't want to tag together.
Yeah, they didn't want to tag together, and there was kind of that. Is Hernandez doing it on purpose, or is he really just full of himself and just not noticing Puma? I'd say it's a little column of a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Hernandez was just. You know, he can go. He go. Mm-hmm. They put him in that ring, and he can just go, and that's why I think me and you both like him, even though we didn't want to like him.
No, this is definitely the Nickelback of Lucha Underground. Nobody wants to like him, but everyone loves him, and I mean everyone.
Well,
yeah. I just had to get that out there.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh man, you find me one person who says they don't love Nickelback, and I'll show you a liar.
I don't like
and it'll Nickelback. Be the same guy. Well, that makes you a liar, Greg.
I do not.
Whatever, dude, whatever you want to say, man, whatever you want to say, just know I don't believe you. There was some good commentary here. Vampiro points out, you know, the mix-up between the, you know, the Technicos, well, Puma and Hernandez, rather. He says, you know, there's something that's not right here, man. And then you throw the devil into the mix. Referring to Conan.
He can't take, he can't help himself. He has to just, I mean, I really am curious.
I'm going to be honest with you, Greg. It's becoming charming at this point.
It's fun. Yes, it is very, it is entertaining at this point. Like, it's no longer annoying. It's gotten to the point where it's hilarious. Because you can, yes. It's almost like you could have a drinking game based on it.
Yeah.
It just makes me so curious if this is when he was, because apparently him and Conan dropped, they squashed the beef. And then they had a feud in AAA for a little bit. Maybe that might have been just for money. They might not have hated each other anymore. But I just wonder if this was all storyline or if he genuinely still didn't like Conan at the time and vice versa.
Yeah, who knows, man. And another quote here. This was from Stryker. Someone brought up, you know, pain, or, you know, Stryker referred to, you know, suffering. And he said, you know, speaking of pain, here comes Cage. That is a damn good way to get a guy over.
Yeah, he is. He hurts people. He hurts people real bad. And, you know, I realized the reason why he's not being used probably as much as we'd like in AEW. Mm-hmm. He's pretty fucked up right now. Like, I was watching a guy who's like a chiropractor.
Injured? Or?
Working injured. Like, Kenny Omega's working. Kenny Omega's working injured right now. He's let that slip. People are going to be like, no, he's not. But he said, like, he's not. He's pretty banged up. I saw Cage on a thing where the guy had like a chisel and a little tiny hammer thing, and he was using it to like adjust his muscles so much, like to move lumps of his muscle that were like,
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, he was getting chiropractored. Like Cage was, and Melissa Santos got it done too from the same guy. It's a pretty cool, interesting channel. I think you could just, I don't know the name, but if you just search Cage and chiropractor, you're going to see it. It's a pretty popular YouTube. But yeah, Cage is pretty messed up right now. And I think that's actually happening to a lot of AEW stars that me and you have complained about not being pushed. But yeah, because Cage. Hey,
maybe it's because, hear me out, maybe it's because they do 32 matches on one episode of AEW Dark.
Not with the same people, but yeah.
No, I know, but I just wanted to get that dig in there.
He's working kind of injured right now, I think.
Yeah, that's a shame. Be better, AEW. Be better.
I like how you're basically like Conan, or you're like Vampiro with Conan. Like it's Caleb and AEW. Like you're in and fucking AEW. Their fault. Oh, I gotta be the match striker.
Jesus Christ! I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm pissed. We paid out big money to. So this is a baseball thing. Either way, we'll talk about that later. Or we won't talk about it on air because it's not pertinent. But yes, I do appreciate that rapport between us. And, you know, you've got to be the striker when AEW comes up, and I've got to be the vamp. So, or I choose to be the vamp. So you, I choose to be the vamp. So you have to be the striker.
Can we both be vamp? Because I think that'd be hilarious.
That would be amazing. Just hours upon hours of us mercilessly shitting on AEW to a viewership who, by and large, seems to love their product. That is a great way to retain viewership, sir.
Yeah, I'm gonna frame my. I bought like a frame for my my ticket stub that Floyd gave me, like a free ticket to. Well, damn, Floyd hooks me up, dude.
Floyd's a good dude.
Dude, to Full Gear. It was the one where Kenny and John Moxley were supposed to have a match, but there was never a sanctioned match.
Shut up.
and I won the AEW contest that he had on all things Elite. I got a new AEW hoodie, and I even got their joggers and an AEW heavyweight title pin. So I'm balling right now. Got the drip.
I'm proud of you, man. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah,
I really am.
I'm a winner, bro. I'm going to win this Super Bowl bracket thing I signed up for. $25. I got it.
I am so proud of you, man.
Dude, gambling's one thing cool. I'm not proud
of. Yeah, gambling. Kids, anyone listening, gamble as soon as you can. Don't do anything illegal. I'm not going to, advocate for anything illegal, but when you can legally gamble, absolutely do it. Take entire paychecks when you're working and go to the casino and gamble it all.
Dude, my friend added me to a group for stock market stuff, and this is right when the AMC games GameStop stuff was going on. This guy dropped 40K into
Jesus Christ.
GameStop or AMC. A couple weeks later, he was in the hospital from stress.
Of course he was, man. He was.
Gambling is cool, but never bet anything you can't afford to lose.
Exactly. Yeah. But in seriousness, cool. Yes. Do not gamble anything you can't afford to live without.
Yeah. But do gamble. It's great.
Oh, absolutely. Gamble. Gamble as much as you can.
I gambled on the Super Bowl, and I've done fantasy football once or twice. And I won once. Like third place. Dude, it's fantasy football is just numbers, and just watch Red Zone. You're good. You don't need to know nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was one thing that's not cool to me, and that's Cage being distracted by Conan after the Hernandez and Puma alliance is done for.
And don't forget how it ended.
Yeah. Oh my God. Hernandez literally pushed Prince Puma into a King Cuerno dive.
Yeah, which is smart as hell. Puma's a dumb white meat babyface.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dumb babyface syndrome, and I kind of don't feel bad for him. I actually respected Hernandez for doing that, because it does happen, but you don't see it as much as it should happen. I love it. Like, people complain about the flippy stuff, but when, like, let's say there's a trios and two of the guys are holding one guy steady so he can't get away, and then the guy dives into him, I'm okay with that, because that makes sense. They're holding him in place. And this was kind of the same thing. So I was on board with this spot. Completely on board.
Yeah. But like I said, Cage was distracted. Not that it factored into the finish, but Cage was distracted by Conan. That's idiot stuff. You know what else is idiot stuff? Things like what Matt Stryker says here. As Hernandez is attacking Prince Puma, and he's done with the tag team, just beating the crap out of Prince Puma, throws him into the, just beats the crap out of him, and then leaves. But as this is happening, Matt Stryker has the gall to say, if this is the first time you're watching wrestling, or you've watched your entire life, you knew this was coming. What the hell, Stryker?
Well, you did, to be fair.
It sounds a little shooty.
You know what? I'm not going to shoot on your opinion too much, because there are instances where I don't like it when they break the fourth wall. I like kayfabe. Mm-hmm. So while I was okay with the statement, I completely understand how you feel about it.
Yeah.
I will not invalidate you.
I appreciate that. I really do. I'm glad you respect my opinion. that's a big pop. That's a 44 ounce Mountain Dew right there. Big pop.
Gamer fuel.
Jesus Christ, this guy. Cage hits Weapon X near the seal on Prince Puma, the Lucha Underground champion, and he gets the win. Hey, our boy Brian Cage just pinned the Lucha Underground champion again.
He did the Razor Ramon Bullet Club thing. Well, I'm going to say it the NWO thing because, you know, Bullet Club is basically NWO.
It's an NWO ripoff, but yeah.
He did the cigarette thing where you put it out on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did Weapon X.
I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure the first person to do that, and I could be wrong, I thought was Stan Hansen.
I don't know. You could be right. I just know that Diesel and Razor Ramon would do it occasionally. But also, Weapon X is... I love that finish, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's great because it's a very convoluted setup. But when he finally nails it, it's kind of like End of Days from Baron Corbin. And I don't care how you feel about Baron Corbin, but End of Days
is, that finish is amazing.
It's like a better version of Sister Abigail.
Yeah,
or Blade Runner.
Like the thing about Baron Corbin is that like it's really like okay, he's like oh he's boring, he has chin locks, and he like extended chin locks, and he does. But then you see his Instagram, and it's like oh mountain biking and horror movies and barbecue. And then he's got a cool finish and a, you know, before he became royal, fairly cool song, relatively, to boot. It's like, how can I hate him?
Well, he also is a jiu-jitsu guy, and he showed some of his clips. I may have said this on the air. I said it in the group chat that he showed clips of a tournament where he did a leg lock of a kind. And it was incredible at leg lock. And I even said, this is before he was big. So he was responding to people. Yeah. I was like, dude, that should be your finish right there. Or that should be another finish you add because it's a perfect, it's one of those submission moves that does look good. Sometimes submission moves don't look cool in wrestling. Like I don't think like John Cena's STF. STFs no. usually don't look very good. Cobra clutches usually don't look very good in wrestling, even though they, when done for real, they can look cool. It was a leg lock. I don't remember. I think it was like a reverse knee lock. It looked great. And so he can also maybe not wrestle. I'm not going to say, you know, he could do all that, but he can do submission stuff too. So they just don't let him do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, real quick. Have you seen today's new episode of WandaVision?
No, I'm going to watch it pretty soon. Don't
spoil it. Oh my God. I'm not going to spoil anything, but you're going to love it.
Does Batman show up? Or
Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
Oh, it's made of hint time. Alberto El Patron. Yes, he could. Versus Johnny Mundo. Winner will face Hernandez next week. But the winner of that, then being able to challenge Prince Puma for the Lucha Underground Championship. First thing I noticed, as always, when anytime Alberto wrestles, over like Rover, so over.
He gets the crowd pumped. They love his energy. And at the time when this first aired, I did not care for Alberto El Patron at all. But dude, this match was great. This was an amazing match.
Yeah.
And I promised
there is an alternate timeline where Alberto stays on the Indies, stays in Lucha Underground. Doesn't allegedly beat the crap out of anyone, be it his girlfriend or a Ninja Turtle, and doesn't have a drug problem, etc., etc. And he's just so awesome. And maybe in this alternate timeline, Lucha Underground still exists. Who knows, man?
I don't know, man. That's kind of a hard universe to live in. I kind of need him to be beating up Ninja Turtles, and I just can't, you know, imagine a world where he's not doing that.
Getting Paige to come to Impact pay-per-views in a Lucha mask.
He did that?
I swear to God. Slammiversary 2017, because he was dating Paige at the time. And she came in, but she knew, like, oh my God, like, all the fans are on the camera here. So she had to wear a luchador mask the whole time.
Huh. Well, that's kind of cool, though.
I suppose. And it looks silly, but yeah.
Maybe. I mean, in Stardom, the Queen's Quest girls, they come out in Lucha Mask. So it depends on how the Lucha Mask. Well, was it a bad Lucha Mask?
Well, it's not that it was bad. It was ill-fitting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So they just took one from the like waste bin and just threw it on.
Yep. Yep.
That poor girl.
Yep. Johnny over, but to a lesser extent. Still over, you know. First thing I noticed for throughout the majority of this match, we're getting T-shirt Bert, as I call him.
Ah, the Naito energy with the T-shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that means it's phoned in, but
yeah, but this wasn't the case, man. It's what, like, he broke the mold here, you know. He put in some effort, you know.
And this was my style of wrestling because there was a lot of micro movements, like at one point Johnny Mundo does kind of they're both grounded, like on their knees, kind of like if they're doing jujitsu, and Johnny does an arm drag of sorts that just flips Alberto through the ropes. They do a lot of things where they bump to create distance or to push people into the ropes or into the corner. Instead of just doing an Irish whip, they do bumps and pushes, like just two-hand pushes, which it's amazing. And I didn't think about, and this isn't something I thought about before, but that can be the difference that makes a match look more like a fight than a wrestling match, which, you know, something I never thought of before, but just that little tweak made it seem more of if anything, if you remember Attitude Wrestling, yes, people blow it up to be more than it was, but a lot of the best parts about Attitude Wrestling is it was fast-paced. Like, it was a lot of stuff off the ropes. It was like everything was – it seemed like every moment was a hot tag moment. They say wrestling right now is too spotty, but back then, wrestling, there was no slow movement, so that when WWE started slowing it down, it was kind of – it was at first kind of boring, but – that's what this felt like. It felt like they were constantly just they weren't cooperating with wrestling holds. If they got into a collar and arm collar and elbow lockup, they would end up pushing each other out of it or rolling or tumbling into the corner. It was I loved the energy of this match throughout the whole way.
Yeah. Now, one particular spot I noticed, this was relatively early on. Alberto's on the outside by the apron. Johnny's on the inside. Johnny decides to dive out. Alberto pulls the ring skirt, so Johnny gets trapped in there. And then Step Up Enziguri kicks the shit out of him.
Oh my god! Some of the kicks in this were amazing.
Yeah,
and it was very snappy, which I love. This had a lot of Maserati Pro Wrestling in it.
Yep, this was definitely MPW for sure.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. T-shirt Bert hits a tope on Mundo that drives them into the chain link that, you know, puts up a barrier between the fans in those stands and the actual temple itself, or the ring area, as it were.
Yeah, it's a nasty chain link fence, too. It's
It really is. It looks grimy.
It's not like a chain link, but it's like these little tiny metal thin... I don't know how you would call it, but it's not like a chain link.
It looks like an old rusted baby gate, sort of.
Kind of like, you know, those elevators where you can shut like a metal gate across.
Yep. Yep.
That's kind of what it is. Yeah, but it's like smaller, so there's more links. So if you get thrown into it, you can get cut, you can get tetanus. Like it sounds awesome when they go into it. It's very rough.
Yeah. And on that tope, like one, Bert just gives up his body entirely. Johnny crashes into some stairs and breaks them.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was a botch.
I'm not sure.
Because it was a very weird... Because they pointed out. So if it was a botch, they played...
They pointed out and showed on camera, yeah.
So I don't remember... I know what you're talking about, because I remember thinking, like, wow, was that... Because it looked weird, but it could have been planned. Yeah. Usually when something crashes or breaks, usually it's planned.
Yes. It's shortly after this point that Alberto decides he's definitely here to work, which he had already been. But then he takes off the shirt. And he's not in bad shape, so why is he wearing the shirt? Greg?
Hold on one second. Someone doesn't understand what recording a podcast means. What was your question?
Sorry about that.
People, it's like I'm free all fucking day, and I've dropped the F-bomb, and I apologize so much on this podcast, but I told you it's been a bad day. I'm free all all damn day. And then, you know, the hour I'm trying to record a podcast, someone sends me like 17 straight text messages, someone that never talks to me. And it's just, I think I'm going to hire someone to take them out. But what you was should. Your, yeah,
you should hire, who's a good hitman? Should hire the APA.
Well, their slotto of pounding ass makes me question whether they're actually beating people up or they're doing something worse. Because I remember that was their motto, always pounding ass, and it was like, whose bright idea was that?
I'm gonna get you the, I know, right? There's a shirt out there. It's the always pounding ass bar and grill. I'm gonna get you that t-shirt.
I'm not gonna bring it up, but I was reminded of that story of Edge and Bradshaw in the showers.
Yeah. JBL, you're canceled.
poor Edge. He deserves his main event at WrestleMania.
Absolutely, he earned it, man. He went from number one all the way to number 30. Him and Orton did the old Bulldog and Sean routine.
Hey, man, the whole holding the ropes at the bottom is a strategy MJF used, Road Dogg used. I mean, it's a winning strategy. Don't knock it. Like, why get up?
Also, I'm just going to say it to anyone who's like out there arguing this for hours on end, be it in, I don't know, a group chat or Twitter, it don't matter. Are you guys that bored? Like,
well, I mean, WWE doesn't think that they've created new legends, so they go to the old ones. I mean, that's just, I wasn't surprised because they don't.
Yeah, no.
They're not going to, I mean, I can think of guys I'd love to see in the WrestleMania main event, but it's not my company. They don't think the younger guys are legends yet. That's it.
I think the point I'm making here is
you think anyone else that thinks differently is stupid and you disrespect.
Well, definitely. Anyone who disagrees with me is clearly on the wrong side of whatever we're discussing. That's been well established. But also, like, I'm growing to the point of like, I don't care. Does that make any sense to you? Like, I've just become a generally more busy person.
Well, I don't care either.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
He does look, it's weird that they're not, his hair is gray. Like, I thought they would, like, you know, dye it a little bit or something.
Get him some Just for Men, that sort of thing.
Well, you remember when Kevin Nash was going to fight CM Punk? They like, dyed his
anytime,
hair pitch black.
Anytime Kevin Nash came back, he'd have black hair, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was awful, but, you know, Edge maybe might want to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or shave his head. Not bold. I just mean like, you know,
he
haircut.
He rocked the shit out of that short haircut that he had when he was retired, man.
Yeah, when he was doing the Edge and Christian show, like, he didn't look bad. I don't know why he doesn't just do that. I don't know. Just long gray hair looks.
Yeah.
Stands out too much. I think it's too much of a bullseye for people to complain about his age.
He could get by. He could get by. Short hair, 5 o'clock shadow.
Yes, very much so.
I'd get him by. That would get him by for sure. But like I said, no, Bert doesn't look bad. He had the shirt on the whole time. What the hell?
It was for that pop.
Yeah.
Because when he took it off.
It was for the pop, and it was for the Kurt Angle taking the straps down moment of like, oh my God, now he's going to finish it. Because he immediately goes for the cross arm breaker.
I love that spot. And the crowd did too. I love that.
The thing about it, when you've got a submission wrestler in there, and you build to them trying to put this submission on, and they finally got it on, and you think the match is over, or the match could be over, whether you want this person in the submission to not tap out or you want them to tap out, you're immediately 100 times more invested than you were before, because now it's not a three count. Now it's a matter of they've got to either hold on, or they've got to tap, and or get to the ropes. There's nothing else to do. And it puts 100 times the amount of heat that was on the match before on it, you know, at that moment.
There's a lot of people that have submissions as their finishers, but there's a lot of people that can't do this. Kurt Angle's somebody that can do it. Alberto did it here. I can't even.
Brian is damn good at it.
Daniel Bryan's damn good at it. I can't, off the top of my head, I'm sure there are people, but I can't think of anybody.
Now, granted, because, like, if he got it on you and he cinched it in deep, it was over. Benoit, off the top of my head, for sure.
Oh, definitely Benoit. I remember screaming at my TV at WrestleMania for him to make Triple H when he made when he made Triple H tap at WrestleMania. No, he was at Backlash. I think it was he made HBK tap at WrestleMania because it was
No, he made Triple H tap at Mania.
Okay, so that was the first one. Yes. Which people, and that may not sound like a big deal, but Triple H never tapped before this. I think this was like the first time he tapped. He never really tapped to the Walls of Jericho in a real match to lose. This was the first time he tapped. Like, they gave Benoit the keys to the goddamn kingdom because then he beat the next pay-per-view, Shawn Michaels. That was
But then they immediately I stopped watching after that match
because I remember thinking there's only the only place to go from here is down, and I had no idea how right I was.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, you were very right because they immediately like, okay, Bad Blood's the next show. Triple H and Shawn are gonna have their blow off inside Hell in a Cell. Well, that's got a main event. So now your world champion isn't closing the show. That's to me, that's a sign of disrespect, and it's like, well, you're not the. You're not in the blood feud. You're not in the main feud here, so you're not going to main event.
How would you feel about, and just putting a scenario, just like that scenario and a lot of other scenarios where the main event isn't the heavyweight champion, how smart do you think it would be if someone were to like just not have the heavyweight championship defended on those pay-per-views where they wouldn't be the main event? Like, let's say there's a Taker match, right? That doesn't happen very often. Would you, because... Absence makes the heart grow fonder anyway, and I think sometimes people are seeing too much. I think,
you've got to play the game where, in this hypothetical, okay, we're building to, and we put in the work, and we're building to a non-title Roman Reigns Daniel Bryan. That's going to be our main event. Our champion at the time in this hypothetical is, let's say, Kevin Owens. And we've built up this Kevin Owens Cesaro thing on TV, and we're content to save it for the next show, the next pay-per-view.
Yes.
But here's the thing. You've got to be willing to adapt, because if you look at, and this isn't a hypothetical world where like we're doing arenas now, we're selling tickets, we're doing all that. You've got to look and you've got to ask yourself, if this main event is drawing us enough tickets as we expected, do we need to sell more? Can we put that match on? You know, do we have to put this world title match on the card, even though it's still not going to main event, but it's definitely going to boost the lineup? And if at that point, if the answer is yes, then, you know, I'm not a fan of not closing a show with a world title, but in that instance, I would be okay with it.
What if you could still have them in there, but maybe make it like a tag match?
That's not a bad idea either.
Like something that continues the storyline, but isn't the basically you hold off on the blow off match.
Yes, I like that. Or have like a talking segment for one of them, or a tune up for one of them.
Yeah, I think that would fix that kind of problem. I think we've talked more about Edge and hypotheticals than we did about this main event. We gotta get back to it.
Who gives a shit? It's our show, dude.
I gotta edit it.
just don't edit this out. It's not a big deal.
Oh, no, I'm keeping it in. I just have to listen to it again to make sure that.
That's fair enough. When you listen to these and you edit them, I want you to tell me how great I am, just in general. Not how great I sound, because I know like my tech isn't super high gear like some people's. But just how great I am, just in general, you know.
Carrying on, with the match, amazing match.
Yes, that's the thing. This match was good. As distracted as we sound, this match was very good.
It was very good. There was, and I love the visual wins. When he did the armbar, it did look like Johnny had to choose if he was going to tap or if he was going to find a way to escape, and he barely rolls out. That gave Alberto the W submission, like the visual submission. Like it instilled the thought, and this, a lot of this goes back to Johnny Mundo being so good at selling and just everything in Lucha Underground. This is his best work. He made it believable that Alberto could make him tap. So Alberto has the visual win right there. Then AEP or Johnny Mundo gets a visual pin. I forget what he got. What he hit him with.
He hit the end of the world, and Alberto got his hand on the rope.
Yes, it showed that Alberto could not get his shoulders up after that move. So that mm-hmm. made Mundo look good. So now at this point, mm-hmm. both guys have a visual win over each other. Not a real win, but just.
And yeah, they have the visual win, not a real win. But, you know, they show that, like, each of them could win. They're very good. They're very good. And not necessarily one's better than the other, but, like, in moments, one is better than the other, obviously. But, and here's the thing, Johnny might have a gripe. Because, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, back and forth in the ring, and Johnny at one point he's in a compromised position, and Berto kicks the crap out of his head, gets the win. Here's the thing I noticed after this. It was basically a super kick with, like, the force and tenacity and the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a super kick to a down Johnny Mundo. Alberto fell onto Johnny, but as I noticed, and referee Marty Elias did not, it looked to me like both of Alberto's shoulders were also down.
It was a great, this was an amazing finish because it came off like a flash KO where mm-hmm. They were going back and forth trying to hit each other with kicks. And this is when Alberto started doing a super kick to grounded opponents. It was a super kick. He did it to John Cena when he came back and won the U.S. title off of John Cena. This was a new finish of his. And it was so crisp. It was so much of a flash KO. And he did. It was very much like the Austin Triple H match when they had the three stages of hell or whatever it was, where they mm-hmm. both ended up hitting each other with a chair and a sledgehammer. But Austin fell first, and then Triple H fell on top of him. You're right. It does cause doubt. Alberto gets the win, but Johnny does not look weak here. Johnny looks incredible. Because again, it's a flash KO. Flash KOs, if you get hit with a flash KO, as long as it's not the first and only move, you don't usually look very weak, because a flash KO is something that comes out of nowhere, and you're done. There's nothing you could do. So this match is, I would give it a 5 stars.
Yes.
It's a great match.
I would agree. It was very good. Very good. Honestly, and this may be controversial, maybe not, best match we've seen on the show so far.
It very well could be, and I'm going to one-up you. I will say that Johnny Mundo is the Hiroshi Tanahashi of Lucha Underground.
Yes. There we go. He is the ace of Lucha Underground, sir.
Kind of has the same build as well.
A little bit. And, very handsome guy too.
He's handsome. He's got the huge, you know, he's huge. And I just see the comparison so much here. Because he's probably the heart of Lucha Underground. Puma's the champ, but as I said, he doesn't talk. He sometimes comes off as a background character. Mm-hmm. But Johnny Mundo,
like, things just happen to him.
I feel like Johnny Mundo has, I like the way he sells. I like the way he moves around. Whereas Puma can be a very much an indie darling, you know, flippy, which is fine. But sometimes he's too perfect, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't seem human. And yes, that's kind of a backhanded compliment, but it's just the truth. He just seems, sometimes it's almost like I'm watching a movie. He's too good for his own good, I guess. It sounds crazy, but like sometimes I like a little bit of roughness to make it look like, you know, a fight. Like I said earlier, like the pushing and then, you know, the way it's just rough and it's tumble.
Yep. So, oh man, this was not the end of the show, because by God, we see someone visiting a coffin. And we hear the familiar voice of the lovely Katrina. And she says, death is the beginning of new life. And she tells Pascual Mendoza, rest no longer.
And I think maybe one of us called it, maybe it was you, but the Grave Consequences match was the death of Pascual Mendoza. He's dead. He's gone. Mm-hmm. Now only
that was you.
Was it me? All right, I'll take credit for it. I'll take a victory lap. I will take the social suplex victory lap, even though this is an old show, so I kind of did know. But I'll take it anyway. I'll take it in kayfabe. How about that?
Yes. It
shows that she planned it all ahead. She didn't. Phoenix was just a means to an end, as you can tell, because she's not with Phoenix. He's the simp that has been taken advantage of. She's back with her jerk boyfriend, and now he's only more of a jerk. He hasn't changed, only for the worse. But she's actually worse. Yeah. She's actually the more toxic one.
Yep. Absolutely, man. And the best visual, because she's begging, you know. She's rather commanding, not begging. Sorry, no disrespect to our queen, Katrina. to, you know, rise and open his eyes. And the very last thing we get, we hear that opening note from his badass stock music theme song. And then we see his eyes open and the show's over.
The show started off kind of weak, in my opinion. Like, not weak, but just you could tell certain matches they were saving their best for the next match. With Tejano and Daivari, there was no, they don't have anything, so they didn't even have a match. The Hernandez and Puma versus the Terminators was setting up another match. They were giving out the best. They were saving that for the next match. But my God, the final match was just amazing. 5 stars. And in this part, we love Mil Muertes. Like, we want to see him just beat the crap out of people. I find it very funny, though, that you completely skipped the Dragon Azteca.
Oh my God. I am so sorry I missed that. Let's circle back real quick. Oh my God. You know why I skipped it? It's because this angle sucks.
Yeah.
It takes up so much time and it's a trashy angle.
Well, she never pays. She has one match in Lucha Underground. I give them credit. They tried to invest in it. I think they were literally training her to wrestle, maybe, because you said she wasn't a wrestler, but she was Savannah. She was a ring announcer or something.
Yep.
This is clearly voiceover, big boy voice for, you know, Matt Cross for at Dragon Azteca. It's also clearly a kidnapping, because he won't let her go.
That's a kidnapping.
It's a kidnapping, and she's very bad at whatever martial art he's training her in. And again, I don't think he's actually training her for martial art. Maybe he won't let her leave because she won't pay the deposit on her next belt stripe. Who knows? But it's a terrible segment, unfortunately.
Yep. Lotus says, "Hey, I'm ready." Azteca says, "Take me down, then you can leave." And she can't take him down.
No. I don't even remember her and her in the matches she's in.
I only know one match that she's actually in.
It was multiple people, and I just don't remember her part at all.
Well, we'll talk about it when it comes up, but
can't wait.
Yeah, sure, it's actually a good, man.
It's actually a good match, but she's just in a blind spot. I can't remember a thing she does. I don't remember if she was offensive as a wrestler or if she was passable or if she was great. I'm pretty sure it wasn't great because I don't remember it.
What's great is like three of these multiple people attached to this are like iconic in the world of women's wrestling. Not to get too spoilery, but they're just icons, dude. Present day icons, dude.
Both in WWE right now.
Yep.
That's all we'll say.
That's all we will say. Well, I'm sorry we had to talk about that. We were having such a good time.
We got to rate the show for what letter grade we're going to give it.
We do.
I can go first.
Man, I was ready to give this an even A, and then I remembered the Black Lotus segment, and I'm like, yeah, let's go. A-.
I got to give it a B-. A majority of the show is skippable. I would say if you have to go out of your way for this, just watch the final match.
Well, but you see, that's where that match did so much for me, and that last segment did so much for me, that it bumped it from a B-plus to an A-.
And that's understandable. I'm trying to keep it... The Daivari thing sucked, bro.
I didn't mind it because it, you know, like...
His punches were trash.
It got both guys over. It actually served a purpose. And I know that's a very Fed Defense Squad thing to say, but, like, it served its purpose here.
No, I get that. I just think if you're going to brawl, learn how to throw a decent punch. Because he was doing that thing where his punch hit the mat.
I was going to say... Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like that Dark Order extra from that... last show of 2019.
It was actually exactly like that. Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. But hey, don't talk about Tejano's brawling, because Tejano is very good at brawling.
Oh, he's great. He's actually elevating Daivari.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, dude. And in the process, he's getting himself so over.
Yes,
like, Daivari. I am shocked.
It's working. I just don't like non-matches, especially in Lucha Underground. I was kind of, I didn't remember the match. I was like, oh, Dario will come out and restart the match, because he usually does that. But he didn't.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, that's pretty much the show, though. So we went A minus and B minus, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to go, I'll give it a straight B. I don't forget the minuses and pluses. It's a B.
That's fair. That's fair. So folks, that's the show. Check out every other show on our Social Suplex Podcast Network lineup. That includes the likes of 8-Bit Suplex with Josh and Sandy. That covers Impact and video games as well. We've also got All Things Elite with Floyd and Austin S, as the name suggests. That is an AEW-based podcast. So if you want the exact opposite of Grave Consequences, that's your show. Next up, I believe Great Match Generator is on the list. Greg, feel free to, if I'm missing anything. That one is hosted by DJ Cooks. As the name suggests, they use a generator to randomize great matches to watch and review. It's a good concept, in my opinion.
You check it out. They pull out some cool matches that you might not have ever seen or heard of before, but they go for the matches that are considered amazing. So they're looking for like the five stars, what you would consider five stars, like maybe in the 80s or late 90s, early 90s. If you're a wrestling nerd like us, you're probably going to like it. We got Keeping a Strong Style, the guys that brought me into the Social Suplex, Jeremy Donovan, John Juris, and we got the young boy, Josh Smith. Great show. I think they got a lot of content to talk about right now, especially with Kenta showing up in AEW. This is dropping weeks later, but
I think that was Hideo Itami.
We're waiting for JR to slip up and call him that. I saw people saying that. It'll happen. We got the OGs. We got One Nation Radio with Rich Latta, James Boyd. We got Grown Men Watch This Stuff. Grown Men Watch This Shit. That's with who's hosting that one? I got no memory.
Oh, geez, you're so bad. James Vanderbeek, not the Dawson's Creek guy, as I say every week. And Chris Bryan.
That's right. And then we got Ricky and Clive.
Yeah,
which is surprisingly
my two Scottish brothers. God, I love them.
Hosted by Ricky and Clive. Check out, is that all the shows? Is there another show?
I believe so.
That's all the promotions.
I'm going to feel so bad if we miss someone. Because we usually don't.
Grown Men Watch This Shit. Ricky and Clive. Listen to everything we drop. Everything is
literally gold. Literally listen to everything on the network. Listen to us first and then listen to everything. But listen to everything.
And don't forget to read our articles on the website. Muzza is a great contributor. He's been on a few of the Keeping a Strong Style shows. He's written a few good articles recently. Jeremy writes articles. I think Rich, he was talking about writing some more, or if he wrote another one. So check those out as well. There's some very well-written articles on there. We drop a lot of good content. If you're a wrestling fan, there's pretty much nothing we're not covering. And in fact, I think there may be some more. I could see some more content coming along the way as Joshi Wrestling kind of starts to blow up a little bit more, especially with this AEW tournament. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, that is the show. And some people might tell you that Caleb Baldwin doesn't get distracted, doesn't go off the rez when he's in conversation. But those people, they'd be wrong, wouldn't they, Greg?
Yeah.
And what happens when they're wrong? What do they have to suffer?
Judas Messias matches.
Jesus Christ, you're terrible.
They are terrible, but that's what you got to do.
Oh, man. Yes. Sometimes in life, you have to suffer and watch Judas Messias matches. Not no more like this. Judas Messias. There's a difference.
There's a huge difference.
And that, to me, that feels like it may as well be Grave Consequences.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.